This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens. It's 3 p.m. and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, February 25th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20 are responsibility. Now, we just heard Stephen A. Intro us. And a very funny Twitter exchange. I guess there's a site that takes college photos of people, and they had a college photo of Stephen A. and said Winston-Salem, and he had his uniform on. He used to play guard at Winston-Salem, and they have him there. And then Dwayne Wade retweeted, said, "I put 50 on him in 3 quarters, and then watched for the final 12 minutes." Very funny. Very funny. Hope you're all doing well. I don't know why. I'm in a good mood today. So let's roll with this. How often does that happen?
I love it. I'm very excited about that.
Don, I don't know if you were on the phone when I said this. Peter, on a mass text, had asked for a number that he needed. Does anybody have this number?
Right.
And I tweeted back a profane number, a profane answer. Yes. And yeah, I was sitting in my house. Jody was out with Butter, and I'm alone in the house, and I'm laughing out loud. I thought it was so funny, and Peter, no response. Nothing. Well, zero.
But is it my responsibility when I'm asking a question in earnest, and you tell me to do something that no civilized person would want to do?
Don would.
Not to you. And why I have to be the one to laugh at it also? I smiled. I went, "Oh, thank you. That's great. Helpful."
Yeah, I mean, this guy needs the number, gets excited when he hears there is a number, and it's that number. And
right.
And the funny thing for me, I was in the car.
Did you laugh, Don?
I have the option of, like, when a text comes over to hear it. So I have this, like, robotic Siri-type voice saying your text to me out loud.
Wow.
And it was very funny.
Now, that must have been
laughed.
The best.
So at least two of us were laughing.
Robin, I couldn't respond because I was in the car, but it was very interesting to hear that robotic voice say your text, which was hilarious.
It was 1-800-blank. Let's just leave it at that. It's interesting. So there's a lot of Russell Wilson in the air today. And I don't know if he wants to be saying, "Hey, Seattle," anymore. So, you know, he did that Dan Patrick interview a couple of weeks ago and kind of hinted at trouble in paradise and then kind of backed off a little bit. Then there were a couple of reports today that he in fact, is looking to be traded. And then Adam Schefter, who is the authority on this, and we follow Adam and we listen to what Adam says because Adam's always right with this. He said, this to me is so funny. Wilson does not want to be traded, but his agent, Mark Rogers, said that if he did want to be traded, he would want to be traded to the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, or the Bears. That's almost like, honey, I don't want a divorce, but if I got one, our neighbor across the street, that's the one I'd really like to hook up with. I mean, if you're giving the teams that you want to go to, then obviously you want to be traded. Isn't that ridiculous? Yeah.
But this goes back to my conversation that we argue about all the time about, like, superstars pulling an NBA situation in the NFL. This is, like, as aggressive as they usually get in the NFL. Like, Russell Wilson probably wants out, but he just doesn't want to be that guy. So this is how Russell Wilson does it. As we've talked about before, he's kind of awkward. Like, he's a really nice guy. So it's hard for him to be the bad guy. Listen, if you demand a trade, you're – in certain circles, especially in the city that you play in, you're going to be looked upon as a bad guy. So it's almost like, I don't want to say guts. It just, he doesn't seem like to be want to be all in. Because I think he definitely wants to be traded, but he doesn't want to be that guy to demand the trade.
It's weird, though, that the agent would say he doesn't want to be traded, but these are the teams he wants to go to. And then you dig deeper and you find out, well, what exactly is the problem? And the problem is, he wants to, what's the nickname he gives to himself when he goes off?
Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
And Pete Carroll is a guy who wants him to manage games and hand the ball off and throw when you have to throw it. He wants to probably put the ball up 50 times a game, which he does sometimes when they're behind. But I don't think they're as successful then. When the games where he puts up 50 throws a game, the games that they're losing, and they usually do lose. But he's 32 years old. You'd want him on your team. And, you know, if you're the Cowboys, would you give up Dak Prescott? Well, if I'm the Cowboys, in an eye blink, now you'd lose 4 years in the trade. But I think Russell Wilson's an exceptional quarterback. I don't think the same thing about Dak Prescott.
No, I think Wilson, everything equals a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. That goes without saying. But a quarterback that's about to turn 33 as opposed to a quarterback that's about to turn 28, those 4 years could be a big deal because Russell Wilson had an MVP-type season, 40 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, a 105.1 quarterback rating, and was the quarterback of a 12-4 football team. But if you look at the last month of his season, all right, he had that 206-yard passing game, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception against the Jets. But after that, 121, touchdown and interception, 225, touchdown, no interceptions, 181, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Very, like, kind of pedestrian numbers for what was like an MVP season. Quarterback rating, he had one of a 73.2. The second to last game of the season. He had a 78 quarterback rating in the Giant loss. He didn't seem like the same quarterback. Now, is that because he had carried this team so far and it just kind of all fell apart? Or was he starting to feel it? Was it starting to wear on him a little bit? And he, one of the reasons he's such a great quarterback is his mobility. So if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, as much as I think he's a better quarterback than Dak, am I going to get a 4-5 year run with this guy, or is this somebody that is going to slowly start to dissipate over the next couple of years to where maybe you want to kind of see where Dak goes as a young player, and maybe Dak could be better 2-3 years from now than Wilson will be?
Yeah, the way I look at it, Don, Jerry Jones is closing in on 80. I think he wants to win right away. So I don't know if the Seahawks would want to make that deal. We don't know. Dak Prescott suffered a terrible injury.
I know.
We have no idea if he comes back the same way. Now, the other three teams, of course, the Saints want him. You want Jameis Wilson. You'd rather have him than Jameis Winston. The Raiders, they'd rather have him than Carr. The Bears don't even have a quarterback. So, you know, it's no-brainers. But, again, if I'm Seattle, I'm calling the bluff. I'm saying, no, we're not trading you. Sorry.
Well,
you're under contract for 4 more years.
And also, this shows to me, and this doesn't surprise me based on what we know about Russell Wilson, he's not playing hardball.
No.
So this was his sign of like, hey, once you say the words, I don't want to be traded, but if I do, it's over. And people could say what they want about Deshaun Watson and how you feel about it, but one thing we can't deny is he's clearly playing hardball. There's no if, what the word is, he's not playing, period. So Russell Wilson will be back, and I'm sure they'll figure out a way to work it out with him, but he doesn't seem serious to me about it.
Now, you mentioned Deshaun Watson, Peter, and 6 minutes ago, our very own Dan Graziano just tweeted this out. According to sources, Texas quarterback Deshaun Watson met with new Texans head coach David Culley last Friday. In that meeting, Watson reiterated that he wants to be traded and told Culley he has no intention of playing for the Texans again. No change from Watson's end. He remains dug in. Now, on a related topic, our very own Rich Cimini just tweets out, Jets defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, whose name is being thrown around in trade speculation connected to the Texans and Deshaun Watson, doesn't want to go anywhere. Quote, yeah, I'd be disappointed with a trade because I really want to be a Jet for life. So all of this complicates matters about what do the Jets do. The second pick is there. Zach Wilson is going to be there. Do they stay with Sam Darnold? Or can they still make that last – a trade of Deshaun Watson has to be done before the draft. Because once you make your maneuvers at the draft,
right,
then you're setting yourself up at quarterback, hopefully for the next decade. So the Texans have to decide, are we playing hardball and having this guy sit out all year? Because it looks like Watson's willing to sit out all year. Or do we make the trade before April 29th? Tough call, right?
Yeah. Because he doesn't look like he's bluffing.
Because they don't have a quarterback.
No.
If he doesn't play. Now, if they trade him, they're going to have a quarterback. They're either going to draft a kid, or they could get a Sam Darnold. they'll get a quarterback in a trade back. If they go with the Dolphins, they'll get Tagovailoa if they make the trade. If not, and they call his bluff, they've got to start working to get a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback.
Now, you, Michael, you like to always come out and say, I'd make him sit. Right. You always say that, and it's fun to say. But in reality, what would you do if you're the Texans?
I would make him sit. He's too important.
And do what? And then do what?
Make him decide I'm never going to play again, or I'll play for. I'll give in.
So what if he doesn't give in though?
Then he'll never play again.
And what do you do at quarterback?
Then you got to make. You got to go get a quarterback. They're in a bad spot.
I understand your opinion. You know, it's almost like it's like a disciplinary move. Like, you know, you're not playing.
I'd almost do it for the good of the sport.
But
because I think it would stop this nonsense dead.
But that's fine, and that's a great sacrifice to make if you're the Houston Texans. But you know, eventually you're cutting off your nose to spite your face, right? Because what's the win for Houston? The win for Houston would be he'd cave and come back,
right?
But do you really want him to come back after missing a year, be a disgruntled player? You know, constantly begging to be traded. Now, I think he's a professional. He'll go out there and do the best he can. But how can you be a leader when you've kind of been forced? You're being held hostage by your organization because you don't want to give up a second year. Because that's what would happen is, I'm willing to sacrifice a year. But if it's just the Texans give up a year and then they find another quarterback, then give up another year. And then they never plays again. Okay, you've punished him. You've ended the whole I'm demanding trade situation from quarterbacks, but how did you help your team? Right?
No,
because
right.
Even if you win the battle and he decides to come back and play, is that the way you want him to come back and play? A guy that maybe held out 2 years and is coming back because he has no other choice. You broke him. You know, you've broken the steer, and now what good is he for you?
Well, sometimes he's just a broken person. But here's another aspect that nobody ever wants to talk about. A lot of people in football talk about getting minority coaches, and 70% of the league is black, and this is a black quarterback. The team hired a black coach, and he won't play for him? How does that look, too? I mean, that's an angle that the Texans could play, too.
But that's unfair as well.
Well, I mean, but it's ridiculous how poor the NFL is at hiring minority coaches. Finally, a team does.
And the
minority quarterback will not play for him. Tell me that doesn't. It just hits a little different. I don't know.
No,
you're not going to give David Culley a chance if you're Watson.
It does, but if your problem with the organization goes beyond the coach, and the people that you have a problem with are still the bosses of you and your coach, does it matter? You know, so he's got to sacrifice everything that he believes in just because he was going to support a certain coach, even though the person that hired the coach is maybe somebody he can't stand. He still got lied to by the organization, if you believe the reports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this Easterly thing is a really bad situation. He can't stand him. He's still somebody that's pulling the strings there in Houston. So I don't know how all that changes.
You think that
now he's
got
to be dubbed a guy that, now there's finally an African-American head coach and you don't want to play for him? I just think that puts him in an unfair position because the reason he's leaving is not necessarily who's the coach. It's who's running the organization, who's pulling the strings, who lied to him.
But as much as we know about Easterby, he's not running the football operations. That's Caserio. So you have a new GM, you have a new head coach, you're not going to give them a shot because of a guy that's above them but has no football decisions?
But he seems to have the Kevorka over the decisions that are made. I mean, from what I understand, the reports are Easterby was going to be out. They promised him that. And then when they go to New England to hire the general manager, Easterby's on the private jet. He's there talking to the Patriot. Like, so they lied to him. They said he's out and he's still in. So he's got this kind of Kevorka thing. It's very similar to the Isaiah Thomas, Jim Dolan situation. Remember that?
Yep.
Where even when Isaiah was out of the organization, he was still in Jim Dolan's ear. It's at that level where Easterby is pulling the string. So does he have a title? Is he running the organization? Technically, no, if you look at the media guide. But at least according to the reports, according to Watson, he has the Kevorka over this organization. They promised him that he'd be out, and he's not. So what does it matter who the coach is?
I think it's another thing to throw into the whole decision-making process. I mean, he met with Cully and hated him immediately, or, again, as you said, the hurt goes much deeper and cut goes deeper than that. Mike Tannenbaum just tweeted out, the Texans will have to make a very fundamental decision in the near term, which is to commit to not trading him for the next 12 months, regardless of how noisy or how big of distraction this becomes. Alternately, trade him ASAP and get a historic amount of value in return. Now, I believe if they traded him next year, they'd get a historic amount of value anyway. And they're not ready to win this year anyway. So maybe they just call his bluff and make him sweat. I mean, if they really want to be bad guys, they can do that. Or if they really want to say, you're going to live up to your contract, you're going to play here, they can do it. Because they're not ready. It's not like they're hurting their ability to win this year. They're not going to win this year. Even if he played, they're not going to win this year. Very interesting.
Maybe you can
stuff.
Get him off of his trade demands, right? If he holds out for a whole year, he'd have to expand his places to go.
Maybe.
Well, then, but can, listen, I think he'd be willing to sacrifice here. It sounds like he would. Would he be willing to sacrifice too? I'm sure Houston's going to be throwing away the following year too. So is he willing to sit out 2 years, or after that first year, would he be like, all right, just trade me anywhere. Just get me out of here because I want to play.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana, Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. I'll tell you this. This offseason in the NFL has the potential to be historic in terms of newsmaking. Imagine if Russell Wilson is traded, and imagine if Deshaun Watson is traded. You've already had Matthew Stafford traded. I mean, think about it. When's the last time that many elite-level quarterbacks have been traded? Because, you know, Stafford is certainly on the lower level of elite, but he's a really, really good quarterback. The other two are elite quarterbacks. And you just don't see that happen. It's a new age in the NFL. And I really, truly believe it is piggybacking off the NFL, the NBA blueprint. Now, will it happen? Will these guys get their way? I think they see it happening in other sports, and they want to go where they want to go. And when they get insulted, yeah, they want to go where they want to go. They saw what happened with James Harden. They saw how he got out of Houston. So now will it work in the NFL? I think it's harder in the NFL because let's say the Seahawks decide to trade Russell Wilson. It's a historic $39 million cap hit.
I know. But again, like I keep saying, I don't see the evidence. The Watson situation, I don't think he wants to leave because they're bad. I think he wants to leave because he felt like he was lied to.
Well, whatever the case may be, there have been players in the NFL that have been lied to forever.
Right.
And they didn't have the gumption or the onions to say, right, I want to get out of here. They see it, their professional brothers in the NBA say, I want to get out of here. And you know what? Well, they get out of there.
All I know is that Watson's the only one showing any gumption because that's not gumption what Wilson's doing.
Well, maybe he's passive-aggressive gumption.
It's very Wilson, by the way. When you hear the stories about how the locker room's not a huge fan of Russell Wilson, guys, doesn't this sort of reek of why?
Well, and listen, if that's the case, you think it's going to get any better after this?
Now, did you read any of the details about how the relationship soured? The story that's come out?
I mean, I've read it in bits and pieces. I didn't see one whole story. I know it revolves around Easterby, right?
No, not Watson. Wilson.
Yeah, that he wants to be the guy. He wants to throw more.
But like there was a specific meeting after it was right before their Thursday night game against Arizona, and they had been struggling, and he sat down and had specific ideas about implementing the offense.
They didn't listen.
He was completely dismissed. And basically what it comes down to, and I think sometimes this goes a little bit beyond football terms and real like play calling that we don't necessarily understand as outsiders, but that he really feels everything can revolve through him and that he is like a Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. And Carroll and the rest of the brass, they don't see him that way. I think they see him as really good, but not like, it's your world. And this whole thing, do you guys remember the whole hashtag, let Russ cook?
Yeah.
Right.
That was the start of it, was him being like, I want the responsibility. I want to be that guy. I'm that elite quarterback. And, yeah, the Seahawks don't see it that way. And I don't know that I see them budging on it. And particularly, there was a stretch during the season when he was they were attempting to do more with him, and he had 7 turnovers in 2 games. So it'll be interesting.
You know what? You guys are saying that he doesn't have the guts. Maybe he's just playing. You know, he's slow playing it. Where he's applying pressure where he's not the bad guy out front. But when the agent chimes in, the reason that we have agents is that they're the bad guys,
right,
in the negotiations. But, so the agent could go, I want him out of here. And Russell has his hands clean. And just because, I mean, we know that there are at least 2 different Russells.
Mr. Unlimited.
Right, there's that, and then there's the Dudley Do-Right one. So there might be another one. There might be a Barracuda one.
Right, but that's what Peter's saying is that it's typical Russell Wilson. If you want out, you got to play the bad guy. Harden was
but
the bad guy.
Maybe he doesn't want to play the bad guy, and he'll still get his way.
But Harden was the bad guy. He was willing to be the bad guy to get what he wanted. I don't think Russell Wilson's willing to be the bad guy. Now, maybe Seattle will look at it and say, all right, well, listen, maybe we want to move on. Maybe they'll work something out, and Seattle will decide, if this is the way you're going to be, I guess then we'll trade you. But if they do not want to trade him, I don't think he'll do anything to get out of there because he doesn't want to be dubbed the bad guy. So he'll put out feelers. He'll throw things out. But he's got to be careful here because if he ends up staying, how is it going to be in that room when people are going to know you kind of were thinking about getting out?
Well, he's supposedly not liked in that room anyway.
Rod, so you think that's going to make it any better?
Well, not only
can it be worse.
Not only did you want to leave, but sort of everyone then knows the essence of this whole thing is you think you're the man, but coach doesn't think you are.
Now, in its simplistic form, right? This season, when Russell Wilson attempted 30 or fewer passes, the Seahawks were 3-1. The only loss coming in the playoffs. When he attempted 40 or more passes, Seahawks were 1-3. Now, you can dance with stats all you want. I mean, he might have thrown the 40 passes in a game that they were behind by 3 touchdowns. So I'm just throwing that out, and again, as I said, in its simplistic form. Now, there's a jet angle to all of this, everybody.
Sure.
There's a jet angle. Mel Kiper made some very interesting statements in his mock draft today, and it impacts the Jets and their fans and Sam Darnold directly. We'll get to that in just a moment. It's going to be a great show, I promise. We're going to have the head coach of BYU, Kalani Sitake, who obviously coached Zach Wilson, and we'll get the lowdown on Zach. I'm sure he'll say good things about him, but you know, we'll ask around it and see.
Plus, Don and I will be disrespected publicly in the 4 o'clock hour.
How do you see that? I don't get it.
Because you would not be excited to have resolution on the air of us being in that booth.
Wait a minute. I don't know what the answer is. All I know is that I've put it out there. I will know what the answer is when you know what the answer is.
Peter, your thoughts?
My thought is this. It depends who's coming on. If Flip is joining the show, I know Flip well enough to know that he would enjoy making a fool of us on the air. I don't say that in a bad way. Just in a, he doesn't mind being the heel. Now, if you tell me it's someone else who I don't know, that would change my opinion, perhaps. But I could see Flip kind of relishing just laughing in our face.
So I'm you're saying if it's Flip, it's a no. Mm-hmm. If it's Hal Steinbrenner or Randy Levine, it could be a yes.
No, correct. I could see Randy being mean. I think if it's Hal, it's a yes. If it's Randy or Flip, it's a no.
Well, I don't think Randy would be mean. If Randy didn't want it, he'd just say no. It's not going to happen. He wouldn't look at it as mean. He's just giving you an answer.
No, but what I'm saying is I don't think Hal would enjoy coming on to tell us no.
Agreed.
I think Randy and Flip would enjoy doing that.
Wow, strong comments. I don't know if I agree with
that. Care to tell us who it is?
You know, you'll find out in the 4 o'clock hour, just like everybody else. Why, do you think you're better than everybody else?
No, I just, you know.
Forget. When it's about you, though.
Right, it's, you know.
We'll hear from Mel Kiper Jr. in just a moment. A story with deep tentacles. It's a very interesting day today. I'm so pumped up to have the show today. Yesterday I wasn't. Today I am.
I love that you're so pumped up.
All right, it's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you. Big 4 o'clock hour, too, right on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Seattle.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
My love. Hi, welcome back to the show, everybody. You know, sometimes things in sports, I know it's entertainment. It's not world affairs. It's entertainment. But it makes you roll your eyes. So 8 minutes ago, Russell Wilson just tweets out a video of him working out furiously, and he writes, "All fuel." Well, who did it? Fuel. Well, it's like you walk in front of a mirror and you say, "You know, you're a fat slob," and that makes you work out. Well, you did it to yourself. Nobody did this to Russell Wilson. Nobody's saying we don't like Russell Wilson. What? All fuel. What does that mean?
Well, no.
Have you been slighted?
Yes.
By whom?
He feels slighted by the coaching staff in Seattle.
Well, but then don't be this passive aggressive guy. Then get out of Seattle.
I hear you, but I mean, he certainly. I'm not saying. Listen, I wasn't in the room, nor would I probably understand what they were saying if I was. But he obviously feels slighted. That seems to be the core of what the issue is.
The interesting thing, though, Peter, is this. All right, the way that Pete Carroll does it and wants to do it, they legitimately should have won two Super Bowls in a row. But unfortunately, the time that Pete Carroll should have handed off the ball, he decided to have Russell Wilson throw it, and it was picked off. Otherwise, the way Pete Carroll wants it done would have had two straight Super Bowls. Who is Russell Wilson to correct that? How many teams win two straight Super Bowls?
It's fair. And listen, you're not wrong, and I'm not even saying he's right, but obviously being slighted is part of it.
He probably figures that he could be a little bit more involved in the decision-making of the offense, and no quarterback wants to be told we're going to try to throw less. So, I'm the belief that, you know, Pete Carroll's one, they've had a lot of success together. Why would you want to change that? I mean, it's amazing. Seattle should have fallen off the face of the earth after that defense was completely picked apart, and yet they still went 12-4. And a lot of that has to do with Russell Wilson, but a lot of it has to do with Pete Carroll. So learn to live together. He has no idea what it's going to be like in Chicago or Vegas or any of the other places he's going to go to. I think he's nuts to want to get traded, but Peter's right. He probably feels slighted.
But at the same
time, I helped you win a Super Bowl, went to two Super Bowls. You know, why are you trying to devalue me? Why are you trying to make me have to do less?
At the same time, don't you guys feel like, and here's the weird part, and here's probably the part where, you know, I don't know enough about football to weigh in on this, but I consider Russell Wilson to be in the absolute top tier of quarterbacks. I do think of Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, let's still throw in Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes. So it is weird to me that they don't have that level of trust for him. I don't. You know, or don't think his game suits that. It is a little bit weird to me. I can understand some level of frustration around that. But listen, maybe they know as good as he is, and as much as he passes the eye test, he's not the kind of quarterback who should really be taking on all the responsibility.
Now, one of our great listeners, Carlos Campos, just tweeted out, can you imagine what a genius Joe Douglas is going to turn out to be if the Seahawks end up getting rid of Wilson and they take a step back? That the second first-round pick, what that's going to be? And also, if you're Jamal Adams right now, it was so dysfunctional in Jetland. How does it feel out in the Pacific Northwest now, Jamal? You still don't have a contract, and your quarterback doesn't want to be there.
And if they're going to go on a rebuild, there's absolutely no reason why you would re-sign Jamal
no
Adams.
No way.
Hey, listen, give Joe Douglas credit. He fleeced Seattle. Now, Seattle didn't think so because Seattle thought that Adams was the missing piece to winning a Super Bowl. They were 12-14, but guess what? Out the first round. Now you've got a guy that you've got to pay that you probably don't want to have to pay, and now you got dysfunction with your coach and your quarterback. So, absolutely, Joe Douglas fleeced Seattle, and it could more of a fleecing if Seattle were to drop off the face of the earth and those picks are higher.
And the other Jets angle here is them not being on the list of teams he would be willing to go to. You know, it's another reminder that no one really wants to come here to start from scratch because you would do anything. I mean, we said you'd do anything to get Watson. You guys wouldn't do just about anything to get Wilson?
The only thing that would – I mean, I would love to have Wilson, but I don't think he's worth as much as Watson because there's a 7-year age difference. That's a lot. So if you're going to give up all that draft capital, you want a quarterback for 10 years. You're not getting a quarterback for 10 years with Russell Wilson. Your window is smaller with Wilson than it is with Watson. So I'd give much more up for Watson than I would Wilson, although I think that Wilson might be a bit more accomplished because he's gone to 2 Super Bowls. But I take either of them, but I'm not giving up 3 draft picks and Quinnen Williams for Russell Wilson.
Not for a 33-year-old quarterback. You can't do it. Now, listen, even if Wilson comes to the Jets and is their starting quarterback in 2021, I don't think they're winning yet. You know, so it might take a couple of years to finally get great. So now you're talking about a 34, 35-year-old quarterback. So your window's very small with Russell Wilson. With Watson, you've got him for the next 10 years. It's going to be unbelievable. But I don't think that it's – you're starting to see the momentum where it doesn't look like the Jets are going to do anything. That Sam Darnold might be their quarterback next year.
All right, so let's get into that. Mel Kiper had his mock draft, and he has the Jets trading the number 2 pick. He has them trading the number 2 pick, and here's Mel on KJZ, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. You can hear it every day from 8 to 10 right here on 98.7, and he explains the Falcon-Jets trade in his mock draft.
Heir apparent to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan will be 36. You think about it, a division where you want to be ahead of the game there. Go get Zach. Tom Brady can't play forever. You think about where the Jets would be with Kyle Pitts. Something they got nothing out of was a tight end position. Kyle Pitts can block in line. He can be outside as a wide receiver. Great matchup nightmare for that offense against any defense he faces. So for Sam Darnold, if you're moving forward with Sam, surround him by better talent, a great start would be Kyle Pitts.
All right, now Kyle Pitts, by the way, would be the highest drafted tight end in the history of the NFL draft.
Yep.
Kiper was asked why Pitts for the Jets, and the Jets would pick Pitts at 4 because they would get the Falcons' 4th pick in the first round and other picks as well. And here's what Kiper said about Pitts.
I think it's tight end because you're not going to find anybody near what Kyle Pitts is in round 2, round 3, but you can find wide receivers in round 2. They're going to be really good. Nico Collins out of Michigan is a nice player. Opted out, got his weight down at the Senior Bowl. Good power forward type receiver, no question about that. And a host of other guys could be in a slot. Amari Rodgers at Clemson. Think about Elijah Moore at Ole Miss. So a lot of receivers in round 2 and round 3 could be really, really good. No tight end in this draft is even close to Kyle Pitts.
All right, so then you wonder if you're a Jet fan, well, what's the deal with Zach Wilson? Why does he have them trading out of 2 where they could get Zach Wilson and on Greeny's show? And you could hear Greeny's show from 10 to noon right here on 98.7 ESPN. He gave his analysis, Mel did, of Zach Wilson.
Zach was a wait and see. You saw him come off the shoulder injury in 2000, surgery in January of 2019, not play great in 19. You know, he had his moments, but he wasn't great. And then this year, boy, he started from the first game till the end, everywhere in between against, as I say, a lot of inferior opponents, and he lit it up. He's got a quick release. He's got a great arm talent, very accurate. He can move around. He was a basketball player in high school. You know, he throws with all different arm angles, all that. I get that. The Mahomes comparisons to me are ridiculous, but that's just me. I hate when people do that, take the best quarterbacks and say the guy coming out is going to be that. But, you know, Trevor, to me, I can say for Trevor, you can say that the body of work over 3 years tells you what Trevor Lawrence can be. Zach Wilson had that one great year. So I think that's why I temper my enthusiasm just a bit when we start putting him way up. I have him way up there, Greeny, but I'm not about to say he's better than Trevor. And I'm not going to say he is one of the all-time great quarterbacks coming out of the collegiate ranks.
And finally, Mel, making the rounds on all of our shows, was on Bart and Hahn. And he said that the Jets actually have options at quarterback.
Obviously, you think about Deshaun Watson. If you can get Deshaun Watson, you're certainly going to make that trade if you're the New York Jets. There's no question about that. So there are other options for the Jets beyond sticking with Sam Darnold if they feel there's a better way to go. But for me, Wilson would be a sideways move with Darnold. I would much rather have Darnold and Kyle Pitts than Zach Wilson and no Kyle Pitts.
All right, so you have all that information from Mel. When we come back, we'll talk to you about it. 1-800-919-3776. So he has the Jets trading out of the 2-hole, going to the 4-hole, taking a tight end, staying with Sam. Your thoughts on that? It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we're going to get to your phone calls, but there's a quick story. Today is Paul O'Neill's birthday. 58 years old, amazingly enough, and Ric Flair is 72. But this story is about Paul O'Neill.
All right.
So I get a letter. Somebody sent a letter to the Yes Network, and it was forwarded to me. A guy, I believe it was in upstate New York, unfortunately, his house burned down. Mm-hmm. To the ground. Lost all of his Yankee memorabilia, had a Yankee room, everything gone. The baseballs, all gone due to the fire. One thing survived, and he held it up. He had a picture in the letter. A Paul O'Neill bobblehead wrapped in bubble wrap. That's the only thing that survived a fire. Isn't that amazing?
Wow, it's weird.
It's weird, yeah, it's weird more than amazing, but... Happy birthday to Paul, and that gentleman has rebuilt his home, so good for him, and he has prominently displayed that Paul O'Neill bobblehead because that's the only thing that he has from his other house. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mark in Tom's River. Mark. Marky Mark.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Good, where are you?
I'm in Tom's River, New Jersey.
I know, but it sounds like you're in a supermarket.
I am sort of in a supermarket. That is correct.
Okay. What do you got?
I had to run out of my car. Yeah, no, I actually was listening to an interview a few days ago with a reporter that's been covering BYU for like 32 years.
Okay.
And he was saying about the captaincy, the reason why he wasn't captain is because it's a Mormon university, and a lot of them go on mission trips. So they try to give the captaincy to the students that went on these mission trips that came back to the university. So that's why Zach never went on these mission trips. So that's why they always try to go to somebody that's been there for a long time and went on these mission trips.
Okay. I mean, if that's what the reporter says, I'd have to take a look at the list of the eight captains to see if, in fact, eight of them went on a mission trip.
Well, why didn't Coach say that then?
Right. He didn't.
Yeah, why leave that out?
Yeah.
By the way, it should be noted, I'm not saying we have to take everything the coach said with a grain of salt, but I am saying that he referred to a certain player as, quote, the great John Beck.
No, that was a coach.
No. John Beck, I mean, he might be a coach now, but John Beck went to BYU and then was, what's the word I would use to describe his career in Washington?
Pedestrian.
Yeah. I mean, pedestrian at Jays.
Let's go to Justin in Little Egg. What's up, Justin?
How you guys doing today?
Good. How about you?
Can't complain. So I'm a Falcons fan, and this new mock affects me directly. There's definitely something behind it, maybe that we don't know or something behind the scenes. But to me, a quarterback doesn't need to be named a captain to actually be the captain. Like, they're automatically the captain. They don't need the C on their jersey to say so.
No, I get you, but since that almost, you know, makes me more concerned, the quarterback has to be a captain of the team. Even if he has, like, a very quiet personality, he's the quarterback, he's the captain of the offense, and when the quarterback is not named a captain, you wonder why. That's all.
It's a thing. I'm sorry, it's a thing. It may not be a big thing, it may not stop me from drafting him, but his teammates did not vote him to be captain. A guy that's the quarterback of the team. Why? Was it jealousy? Was it they just didn't think he was a quarterback material? They did not like him? Again, it might not be a big deal, but it's something. Because it's just very strange. And every explanation we've gotten, from the caller from the supermarket to the coach himself, none of it really makes a lot of sense. They talk about how he was a leader. So it doesn't matter that he didn't have the C. Well, it kind of does. Because your teammates vote on you being the leader. And they didn't vote for you. You don't find that strange? You don't find that a little disconcerting where you want to kind of dig a little deeper and find out why?
I think that's it, Don. You want to, you definitely want to dig deeper. Maybe it's nothing, but you definitely want to dig deeper.
I'm sorry. It sends up a flag of things that you need to look into. Because you know what? When he gets to the NFL, you're going to have to be the leader.
Let's go to Steve in New Jersey. Steven.
Yes, Mike, Don, Peter, how you doing? Great show.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Very good. You know, I was watching, yes, and I'm listening to the interview with the BYU coach, and it reminded me, you'll know this, of the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner. And the movie, the premise of the movie was this number one can't-miss quarterback that everybody was fighting for. And then it turns out that on his 21st birthday party, nobody went to his birthday party, and Kevin Costner dug deeper, and there were some other cracks in the and he wound up not getting drafted till 7 or 8. From the can't-miss number one, he went all the way down because upon further review and the idea that he wasn't voted captain reminded me of the movie when nobody went to his 21st, his teammates didn't go to his 21st birthday party.
And Steve, it's interesting because that would seem to be, well, what's the big deal? Well, there's got to be a reason behind everything. And when you're drafting somebody to be the quarterback of your team, you're impacting, and this isn't being hyperbolic here, you're impacting a $5 billion industry, a $5 billion team. I mean, the New York Jets are a $5 billion team if they were sold, I would think. So you've got to parse every little bit of information and find out, is this guy the real deal?
And that was a great call because I don't know if you saw that movie. I think it's a very underrated movie. I think that's a terrific movie, Draft Day. Ultimately, the decision was to keep the quarterback they already had. And so that kind of is what the Jets are in right now. You know, do you take this quarterback or do you keep the one you already have? So that's kind of the dilemma. But, yeah, of course, Michael, this is the second overall pick in the draft. There's a very good possibility that if you draft Zach Wilson, if you're Joe Douglas, and he doesn't pan out, then that's it for you.
Yep.
That's it for you. You can't get this wrong. I'm not saying you'll never find another job, but this could be the beginning of the end. The guy's been here 5 minutes. This could be the beginning of the end. It's the same thing if Jones doesn't work back with the Giants. Doesn't matter. All the other picks you could screw up. Linebackers, defensive ends, wide receivers, whatever. You can't get the quarterback wrong.
Nah, it's the not most important thing that you're going to do. It's
the you get the quarterback wrong at 18, but let's not at two.
Let's go to Tommy in Red Bank. Tommy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. Big fan.
Oh, thanks.
What's up, Tommy?
How's it going? Before I get to my Jets point, I did want to just thank Don real quick. Got a cameo from you last night for my friend's birthday, and it absolutely made his day. You did a great job on it. Gave us like 2-3 minutes. Really cool thing.
Well, cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Tommy, let me just ask you, though. I mean, you watched it, right?
Yeah, of course.
Was he real? I mean, did he put a lot of effort into it? Was there emotion? Could you tell that he cared?
Oh, he cared for sure. He did a top five for us.
Oh, man!
Wow.
Yeah.
How long was this cameo?
It was a good like 2 to 3 minutes, you know.
Wow.
He didn't ramble on for 45 minutes like maybe he would on the phone with Andrew, but he gave us some time.
What a guy. That's nice.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Tommy. What else did you have to say? That's great.
So I just wanted to speak on the Jets. Obviously, quarterback's the most important position, but at the end of the day, it comes down to what weapons are you going to put around whoever's taking the snaps. You know, if it's Darnold, Wilson, if you somehow get Deshaun Watson, if they have the same weapons around them as last year, they're not going to go anywhere. So obviously there's a lot of, they have a lot of room in free agency, with the 23rd and 34th pick, I think they could, definitely get someone, but yeah, if they wanted to trade down from 2 and get Kyle Pitts or get one of the top receivers, I think that could be a better move than going with Wilson.
Well, there you go. I mean, this is so fascinating, and that's why it's so fascinating. It's amazing to me. It really is. I'm so intrigued to see what they're going to do. What is Yes going to do about the rising demand for Don and Peter to actually do a spring training game with me? Now, I'm doing two spring training games with John Sterling. I'm doing the first spring training game on Yes on Sunday with David Cohn, of course. I'm doing some with Paul. Ryan Rucco's doing a couple as well. But is there a spot there for a game with the TMKS crew?
And it doesn't even have to be a full game, right, Peter? We'd take a couple of innings.
I mean, I'd be more excited for a game, but I'd certainly be pleased and enjoy a couple of innings. Now, there is a poll that's up. Will Don LaGreca and Rosenberg Radio get to do a spring training game on the Yes Network? Yes or no? 735 votes over the last several minutes. 59% say yes, we will. And I'm sad for our audience that they believe that, because yeah. I quickly and heartily voted no.
Wow. Well, we'll find out. We'll have a resolution in just a moment. So please stay tuned for that. I think it'll be worth your wait. And Don and Peter are waiting, too. They don't know either.
Have no idea. We don't even know who we're going to
know. Don't even know who the guest is going to be.
No, but I feel, Don, you and I, you say we both feel comfortable knowing what the answer is, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know what? Surprises are the spice of life.
So they say.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
The man who put together the Yes Network, and that's John J. Filippelli. I have made this plea to you off the air that Don and Peter want to do the games. You know that I'm all for it. So I said, don't tell me off the air. Give us your answer on the air, whether or not you think it's a viable option to have them do a game.
Let me think about it. No.
Wow. How come?
Michael, I don't want to tamper with the excellence of the simulcast. I want to keep the integrity of the simulcast, the trinity that is you, Don, and Peter together, because that also is a part of Yes. So therefore, as painful as it is, I don't want the brand that is the three of you diluted. And I want to keep it right where it is.
The Michael K. Show.
It's training game
on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, I mean, we use this phrase a lot. That was, in a word, troubling.
No, not for you. No.
It's going to end up being troubling for me, and I'll tell you why. Okay? Don was unbelievably disrespectful, and the reason he was is because Flip is not his superior. He would never talk to Tim McCarthy like that. Was on the air, wouldn't even let Flip get in a word.
That might have been a bit strong.
It was incredibly rude. But
didn't I say one time that Tim McCarthy bought his jacket at Baby Gap?
I think he did say that.
Yeah, so don't devalue me, Michael.
He's already been devalued enough.
That's like joking, but you were screaming that you wouldn't let the guy talk.
God, please.
He didn't say anything offensive, though.
No, I was just standing up for myself, that's all. And I speak loudly sometimes when I'm trying to be heard. But listen, the guy said no, and I still don't know the reason why. It made no sense. It was completely convoluted. Doesn't want to disrespect or devalue the trinity that is the – stop yourself. And I got him to say what it really was, that I am below a Yankee spring training game. And I don't think I am. I don't think Peter is either. Spring training game. Like Peter said, we've seen the other radio station, morning show guys calling regular season hockey games and basketball games. Regular season on the radio.
Snoop Dogg did a full period of a Kings game. And by the way, it killed on for social media for them. Don, you know how serious spring training is? Do you remember when Will Ferrell played in 10 different games or 10 different teams?
Yeah. Billy Crystal got in a bat for a Yankee spring training game. It's spring training. I would never ask to do this in the regular season.
No, you did last year. You both did last year.
Oh, but I never expected to do it. I still don't think there's any reason why you could not have us call the game, but have us on as guests when the pandemic is over, if we happen to be there to kind of promote the show, say some things during the course of the game. No, but calling the game, no, that should be reserved for spring training. Meaningless baseball.
There are a couple interesting tweets out here. Ballard says that John Filippelli is the president of the No Network.
Ballard.
Lot of strong feelings from people. Very disappointed. I would have preferred if he at least stretched it out longer. He kind of just killed the dramatic effect. I mean, he jumped right into it with just a hard.
Well, he really couldn't get much in after Don went off on his soapbox.
Well, listen, the truth is, Flip should absolutely know what he's getting. He called Don's show. This is Don's place. It might be called the Michael K Show, but you always say it. It's Don's show to him, all right?
Mm-hmm.
He called Don's show to publicly disrespect a man who has a rant clock. He had to expect that you were going to get Don to respond like Don. If Don responds with, "I understand, Mr. Filippelli, no problem," he's not the man that people love and tune in for.
And also,
he's got to be Don.
Radio. Stand up for myself, Michael. I was disrespected.
I think, you know what I think is happening right now, Don? I think Michael's knee-deep. I don't have the monitor on. I can't see you guys. I think Michael's knee-deep in text messages. He's already dealing with it. That's what I think is happening.
Well, I mean, Don, you know, reveres this show. There was Don was sputtering such invective toward the head of the network that he actually called this vehicle that we're on the Michael K. Shart. That's never good.
That was tremendous.
In a word, troubling. The Michael K. Shart.
I hope that we hear from that later in the program, because that was quite a moment. But listen, it was a little insulting, and then Flip took shots at me, and you have to agree, Michael, I was nothing but respectful.
Mm.
What? Hold on.
Seriously. Stop it, Michael.
I was downright deferential. Deferential.
Well, I mean, because he was on this show and he was treated the way he was, there's a good chance he'll turn into the Yankee game on Sunday, and I won't be on. Forget about you two guys.
Why would you be punished for Don's behavior?
Because, all three of us go down together.
And we will all go down.
All right,
if you're being serious, honestly, if you're being serious, then Flip's skin is almost transparent.
Mm.
Peter's right. What did you expect?
Come on. How many chances did you get?
I might have gotten a little loud, but I wasn't disrespectful.
Well,
if I was talking over him, what was he saying that was meaningful anyway?
Well, we would never know because you wouldn't let him talk.
Now,
I believe he knows how I feel now.
Don, there were some parts there where I maybe felt a little uncomfortable when you
wouldn't let him
get a word in edgewise, but you didn't say anything that was mean-spirited, nasty. It was just a lot of words. But like I said, Flip called. Let's be honest. He's a human being. He may be above us on the totem pole, but he's a human being. He called up knowing exactly what he was going to do. The way he said no meant he was playing into the theatrics of really, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, taking a bit of a you-know-what on me and Don. That was what the whole segment was. So for Don to then respond in kind after being number two'd on in front of the tri-state with some, you know, at least a loud tone, that's very much in play. At the very least, I'm still upset about the reasoning because I basically just told us we're not good enough. And that is just incorrect. And for a man who knows broadcasting so well, this is the part that's slightly disingenuous. He said it's about having a quality broadcast, and ultimately he cares about a quality broadcast. That's not why he said no, because he knows it would be an entertaining, good broadcast. He said no because the eventual answer that he gave, which is that Don and I are beneath the Yankees. That's the answer. Because it's not about entertainment, and even Michael K. himself would acknowledge that in the middle of a spring training game, he would have a ball doing a couple innings with me and Don. It would be a lot of fun. It would garner attention. It would be a great move. But we're beneath it, Don. We are trash.
You're taking the wrong way. Not that you're beneath it. And I know that Don always mocks this. The Yankees don't look at this as like, you know, a carnival act.
No, maybe you should.
But let me ask you one question.
Well, that's fair.
And I want you to be totally honest with me.
Go ahead.
When the morning show from another station, what did they do, the Devils or the Islanders?
I think they've done the Devils and the Nets.
It was a Devil-Islander game, but it was a Devil broadcast. They also did a Net game.
Okay. Was that disrespectful to the product? Yes, it was.
Well, you asked the question. You can't also answer the question.
Okay, that's my opinion. So what's your opinion?
Well, but maybe there were fans, but it's a regular season game, and they saw value in it. I would
well,
never do
value
it.
The somebody who's like and whether you sign up for it or not, Yankee fans take the Yankees a little bit more seriously than a lot of other fans do, right or wrong.
But
and if,
I think
if it's made light of, do you think that that's going to upset that fan base? That's all my real Islander and Devil fans. Did they think it was hilarious to have the morning show guys do a game, or did they say, "Well, I want to watch this game"?
Well, first of all, it was on the radio.
Okay. I want to listen to this game.
So I know I listen. I get it, but I don't think the majority of Yankee fans are going to mind in a spring training game where everything is kind of up for grabs anyway. Most people don't know who the players are. They could decide to end it after five innings, right? I mean, I was joking around, but it's true. They're jogging on the warning track during the game. It's a spring training game, right? I mean, we grew up, Michael, they never put those games usually on television, maybe once or twice during the course of spring. Now, you know, people are interested, yes, but it's a spring training game. I think it would just kind of be, why can't you let your hair down and have a little fun? And the Yankee organization does that. That's why Billy Crystal got an at-bat in a spring training game. You know why? Because the game's meaningless. And even the Yankees saw value in having Billy Crystal get an at-bat and get some pub and get some attention for a game that normally wouldn't get any attention.
There were some people that criticized it.
But those people are yo-yos, and what, are they going to stop becoming fans? No. Because the people that complain are such diehards, they never walk away from the set anyway because they love their team so much. But you don't need it. Fine. I'm not available anyway. I got Ranger games to do. I picked up another Ranger game next Thursday. I'm good. If Flip came back and said, you know what, we got overwhelming response, we need you to do it. No, I'm not available.
I think you'd say yes in a nanosecond.
No.
Nanosecond.
Try
Mark
it.
In Secaucus. Mark.
Hey, guys. Great show as usual.
Thanks.
First things first, I would pay money to see the three of you do a broadcast for a Yankee game. I think it would be outstandingly great. And number two, Mike, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that Don and Pete would you know, purposely joke or try to ruin the broadcast or dishonor the broadcast in any kind of way?
No, I don't. I just think they're present.
No,
Mark, don't get me wrong. No, they're exceptional broadcasters, and they would not do anything, but just their presence would dishonor the broadcast.
See, that's the thing. And Don, and he knows we'd come in, both of us, so prepped, ready to, we would know everything about every yo-yo bum chuck who's
you
not even going to make the team.
Let me tell you why. I'm putting in 5 hours a day trying to find out non-roster players for both teams. There's no way you would do that. No way.
5 hours
There's
a
no
day?
No way.
5 hours a day? No, I wouldn't require that much because I'm very bright, but I would put in the time. And also, I would know what my role is. I would know how to play the part without disrespecting the broadcast. And to think that that they would think anything less. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's a little disappointing. I mean, your services are used. Our services are used to entertain their network 4 hours a day. And then the suggestion of being a part of their marquee product is thought of as like borderline offensive.
Yeah, it's a know-your-role moment.
Don't we all live that, Don? Don't we get that throughout life, a know-your-role moment?
Well, I don't think it's something that we enjoy when we get it, and especially if we disagree. It's a spring training game. Please don't make it out to be church. Don't make it out to be anything other than that it is. It's a practice game.
We are going to be reading from the scripture on Sunday.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it.
Brendan and Cranberry.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. I was so excited when I heard you guys talk about doing the game, and I think you guys probably would have had a ratings boost for sure. But it's kind of like a car crash, right? I mean, you know, Don can hold his own because Don does the hockey games, but he's waiting for what Peter's going to say, which we would never know. And I trust him to do well on the broadcast, but I think there's a deeper, insidious plot here, which is Don's a Met fan.
That, believe me, don't underplay that, Brendan.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. So that's all I had to say. But, I mean, God, you guys, I would so enjoy that broadcast. I can't even tell you. I'm diehard show, and the combination of the two for me is just like freaking banana split, you know?
Oh, beautiful.
Well, listen, you, if it's Brendan. I don't deny that being the Met fan probably bothers them a little bit, although, you know, not this network, but, you know, Tom Seaver called Yankee games, did a great job as a former Met. I respect the Yankees. That's the one thing. Do I love the Yankees? No. I'm probably more jealous of them than hate them. What do you think? I'm going to like disrespect the broadcast of the Yankees?
You never know, because I think you go off and you can't control yourself like you did about 20 minutes ago. You can't control yourself.
But he doesn't disrespect the Yankees even on this show. Never happens.
I understand. But, he's a wild card. You don't do that. The Yankee game is too important to have like somebody just snap and have a rant.
When would I ever snap?
You just snapped on the president of the network. Snap.
We had a heated conversation.
No. One side heated. It's not heated unless both sides are yelling.
Because he didn't have the energy to bring it. That's not my problem. The Michael K. Shart.
of the four people involved, that was the most insulting thing.
Well, I didn't mean to say it, but you know what? Now I look back at it, that's exactly how I feel.
By the way, can we just all just be honest about one part of it? No matter how you feel about it, how it would turn out, the level of respect there should be for us, business-wise, what's best for business would be to do it. It's not – this is a business ball drop. Like, this is a – to have just a regular game with all the hype now that we would have around this, no matter how you cut it, that is from a PR eyeball standpoint, I'm sorry – I could lose every opportunity and Flip could no longer respect me. I'm sorry. To me, that's a miss. That is a miss.
All right. So from the ridiculous to the very serious, I don't know if you guys saw this story. It's very upsetting. John Goddard, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, and I really don't care if I'm not. He's the 2012 Olympics USA gymnastics coach. And the Attorney General of Michigan filed today 24 criminal charges alleging he verbally, physically, sexually abused young female athletes. The charge included 20 counts of human trafficking and forced labor, one count of first-degree sexual assault, one count of second-degree sexual assault, racketeering, and lying to a police officer. The Attorney General of Michigan, Dana Nessel, said in a Thursday news conference, quote, John Goddard used force, fraud, and coercion against the young athletes that came to him for gymnastics training for financial benefit to him. The victim suffered from disordered eating, including bulimia and anorexia, suicide attempts, and self-harm. He also lied to law enforcement about his knowledge of the crimes committed by the former USA Gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar, who was sentenced up to 175 years behind bars for sexually abusing young athletes. So after this came down, all these charges, you know what this gem did?
I know.
He killed himself. Today.
Coward's way out.
Now, I wonder if I was on the side of one of the people that were abused, would this give me happiness that he did this?
Can't imagine so.
And I don't think so. I think I would want to see him suffer and go through the trial and have to spend time in jail and all the rest of his life in jail. This is like Shawshank Redemption. You really don't get redemption.
Yeah, you always feel that way when there's a mass shooting and then the shooter kills themselves. You feel like that was the easy way out.
Right. I didn't want Jeffrey Epstein to commit suicide in prison.
And even though, you know, he dies and probably a horrible death, but you want him to face the charges, have to go through the trial, have to go through the pain of all of that. And then ultimately, whatever his punishment would be, then you at least see some closure. It just it feels like it was, like I said, the coward's way out of it. These stories make me sick, and it happens so much. But how do they get away with it?
Well, and for years and years,
I mean, is there anybody paying attention?
I don't know. It what a black mark against Michigan State. You can't tell me that only two people knew that this was going on, Nassar and this guy. And if you didn't do it, or if you did do it, stand up and defend yourself. Explain yourself. Now these people have no closure whatsoever. None. Killed himself like a coward. It's an awful story. Awful story.
But you wish there'd just be some, because you get these coaches, right? And they become so powerful that nobody seems to be able to govern them. Like, you're talking about children, right?
Yeah.
How old are these kids?
I mean, they range from little children 11, to teenagers. 12,
yeah. So how does one person, because either it's a bunch of people that just don't pay attention or just look the other way because the coach is so important. How is there not supervision to allow this kind of power to not get out of control? I mean, or is just everybody just like, he's just so powerful, he's so important to our team that we're just going to let this stuff go? I just don't know how you can be that powerful that you can get away with that much and nobody says a word, nobody can stop it.
It's unbelievably distressing that it goes on. I don't think this is an isolated incident. For parents out there, be very vigilant. Tell your kids that this is not accepted. If anybody does this to them, that they have to tell you right away, because athletes, elite athletes, they are so obedient to their coaches. That's how this stuff happens. So you got to tell them under no circumstance anything that seems out of the ordinary, tell you.
But it's so hard when you see other kids are going through it and you don't want to be the one to blow the whistle because there is success behind what's happening. It sounds ridiculous, but you see so many people that go through this type of abuse never say anything until much later in their life because they just feel intimidated by it because of how powerful that person is. But, you know, we talk about parents being too involved and, you know, like kind of coaching the kid. You know, those, you see them in Little League and the bleachers and they're yelling at the coach and all that stuff. I'm not saying you got to be to that level, but you just can't hand over your children to these coaches or these people and not peek in and see what's going on. You just can't blindly trust them. So if you, and you can't always rely on your kids telling you what's going on. So you got to get involved. There's got to be some checks and balances when it comes to something like this. It shouldn't get to this point. When we find out about it years later after the abuse is colossal.
If there's something after this, you hope that this guy has a very hot time and he rots.
I didn't understand, but what the charges are so weird. Like, I mean, I get trafficking implies that he was like just part of allowing the girls to get molested by the doctor.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean,
it's confusing. It's confusing to understand exactly because, you know, he lied to an officer. It's strange, but obviously he knew what he did. Because if you didn't have anything to do with it, you'd be fighting tooth and nail to clear your name.
Right, to the top of the mountain. Instead, he took the coward's way out.
And from the very beginning,
the music.
From the very beginning, he would have been out in front of it doing everything he could to be like, I can't believe this happened, and telling your story. When you're just sitting there hiding with a lawyer, hoping to get off, and then the charges come and you kill yourself, well, it kind of tells you all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a brief time out, take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.